Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. An American over in France was beheaded this week. His head was put on a post. A photograph was taken, sent to a Muslim group up in Canada that the person who perpetrated this crime apparently belonged to or was connected with. Altogether, over the past few days, 67 people were killed by Muslim terrorists. They expect a whole lot more during the July 4th weekend here in this country. ISIS has declared war on Christians and Jews in America. This government has facilitated the entry into this country by means of the Mexican border of many terrorists. But that isn't the extent of the problem that we're facing now. There are probably more just crazy people in this country than there are trained terrorists. And the crazy people can do just as much damage, if not more, than the terrorists. And that's not taking away from the problem of terrorism. But the fact is, we have an awful lot of people on psychotropic drugs, and it happens again and again and again. And there are a few people in the media who are catching on and they're seeing the thread that ties them all together. But these people who commit mass murder, like the one up in South Carolina in a church, these people who go out and shoot up a school or whatever it might be, these people have been medicated and given drugs that very definitely, you know, have a bad effect on people. That's not to blame it on the drugs. It's still the person. Bottom line, the person either accepts or rejects the drugs to begin with. They're the ones who make the decision. The question comes up very often, can't God do something? Well, let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis. We're not going to read there right now, but I'm sure every one of you know the story. Adam and Eve are in the garden walking. And they come across a tree. A tree that God said, don't eat the fruit of this tree. And they hear a voice. Eve goes over, starts conversing with the serpent. And she listens to him intently, and he's very convincing. And basically he says, God is lying to you. He's holding you back from blessings that you could have. And don't you want to be blessed? Don't you want to have a knowledge of good and evil? And Eve says, that sounds pretty cool to me. She takes the fruit, takes it, passes it on to Adam. Adam eats it as well. Could God have stopped that even before it began? Could God have, since he knows everything, he would have known the serpent was demon-possessed. He would have known where the serpent was and where Adam and Eve were walking. He could have set in motion any number of things that would have prevented them to come in contact altogether. But he allowed the temptation for a reason. And that reason is fundamental for us understanding. Why does God allow mass murder? Why does God allow disease? Why does God allow tragedy and earthquakes and weather and things like this? Why does God allow that? And it goes down to this bottom line truth. Adam and Eve were given a huge power. A power that the trees don't have. Power that the rocks don't have. a power that the seas or the air does not have. Adam and Eve were given the power of choice. And they were able to decide, do I believe God or not? And here was an alternative. Serpent on the tree, devil speaking through him. Devil said, don't believe God, believe me. And Eve was confronted with that choice. Now, she had the power to make that choice. Nobody can make it for her. She made it herself. And it is a very, very precious thing to God, this ability to choose. It is so precious that when it comes to the plan of salvation, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible is very explicit about this. It says he died for the sins of the world. What that means is that if every single person in the world was to have their sins forgiven, the blood of Christ was enough to do it. It was enough to do it. But we know that not everybody's going to be saved because it goes back to this issue of choice. The power of choice. Power of choice deals with almost everything. In the last days, we're going to be confronted with more choices than previous generations. And we better be ready to make a choice based upon a knowledge of God's will, a knowledge of His Word, and be able to stand on that. Matthew chapter 25, chapter 24, it deals with the last days. And in verse 5, it says, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There's a choice there, isn't it? Then it says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Again, there's a choice. Do we join up and fight against something that we may not know very much about? How do we deal with this? We make choices. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines. Can you picture the pictures of all the little children starving overseas that they put on the TV screen? Could God stop that? There shall be famines and pestilences. Did you see the pictures of the people in the hospitals lying in their beds in Sierra Leone and Liberia and other parts of Africa while the Ebola virus was epidemic? Could God have stopped that? And then it says, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Could God have stopped the tornadoes, the droughts, the fires, the floods? Could God have stopped all those things? Yes. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And the first opportunity where they were given a choice, and they made the wrong choice. Why would God want to give people a choice anyway? You know, if you had a child and every day as that child was growing up, you told that child, I want you to come and hug me tightly and tell me that you love me every night before you go to bed. And you tell that child, you better do this. Now, since you insist upon it, and there are times when that child gets upset because it doesn't understand an adult's thinking. It doesn't understand some of the things that you do. And there are times when that child just gets mischievous as well. If that child is required every day to come and hug you tightly and say, I love you, how real is that? It's not. Why? Because it is required. It's required. And this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand. God wants people to love Him and tell Him that they love Him and trust Him and obey Him because they want to. Because they want to. We're seeing so many things happening in this country right now. They're just setups for what's going to happen. If fire came down from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you can count on this. Fire is going to come down across this country and destroy America. You can count on it. And one of the major reasons is the churches years ago, not that many years ago, but they decided to take a different course of action than what Jesus required. They decided to ignore sin, to move away from the Great Commission to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they decided it's more fun to party and celebrate and have wild times within the church, and let's all have a good time, feel good, and go back home and forget about all the rest. And so fewer and fewer people got saved. And more people on the outside looking in said, what hypocrisy. They say that Jesus loves the world and they don't tell it. They say that they love people, but they don't show it. And so the world became antagonistic. Why? Because the church has made a choice. The wrong one. But church has made a choice. When we look at the devil and his power, we realize that, you know, it isn't all that great. He gives an alternative. I mean, just think about Adam and Eve again. That serpent on the tree. What if Eve had said no? Could that serpent make her eat of the fruit? No. Didn't have the power to do it. The power of Satan is in the power of suggestion, the power of temptation. He has no power to make a person do something that they don't want to do. And I know a lot of people want to pass that off and say, well, devil made this guy get a gun and go and shoot people and God should have stopped him. Wait a second. That wasn't the power of the devil that made him do that. That was his own free will. That was his own choice. And God respects free choice. This scripture talks about pestilence. Pestilence includes anything that attacks mankind. It can be bugs, it can be insects, it could be a plague of locusts that eat up the crops, or it could be as small as a virus, a bacteria that attacks people like Ebola. All that is included in pestilence. And where does that come from? We look at the diseases in the modern world. And if you get down to it, so many of them are mutations that came about because the world said, this is what we want to do, and this is how we're going to make things. You say, what could you possibly be talking about? Well, in the Old Testament, there's some laws set down, and that is, don't mix the fabrics. You can hardly get anything off a rack in the store today that isn't mixed in an unbiblical manner. You say, well, what difference does that make? Every fabric has a static ability, whether it's cotton, silk. Some have more than others. You know how things are when you walk in just socks across a rug. And then you touch something metal, what happens? Bzzz. That static builds up. And when static builds up, do you realize what takes place? You have a very mini lightning strike take place. Let me just share this real quick. Have you ever smelled the fragrance of the air after lightning hits, after a rainstorm? It smells different, doesn't it? You know what that is? That's called ozone. Because lightning takes the water molecules and separates off O2, and it creates ozone. And that's what you're smelling, that fresh smell. When lightning, whether it's coming from the clouds or whether it's coming from your hand, lightning actually can mutate and change molecules. So that you have, let's say you have in your house some bacteria that you're immune to. You go bzzz on something, suddenly there's a mutation that takes place. It changes from something that you are immune to something that you're not immune to. Do you realize how many diseases we have today simply because people are not following what God said in His Word? These things are created that way. And you know, people have the choice of deciding, should I obey God or not obey God? Just as Adam and Eve had that same choice. The devil does not make them do anything. Over in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We have a prophecy of what takes place in the future time when Satan is cast down. Once you see verse 17. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" Notice that they said he was a man. They looked at him as a man coming down. Now, he cannot force a person to do something, but his power is in the power of suggestion, temptation. And here's where the world falls apart, because they can't deal with that. The world comes along with an idea and they just carry it from one piece of insanity to another. We have, all across this country today, we have monuments to different generals, to different people who fought in various wars. And we have this deranged man who went into the church last week and shot and killed those people. On the basis of that, people have said, well, I have to do away with the Confederate flag. Well, the Confederate flag had nothing to do with it. Why didn't they notice that in his website he was burning the American flag? Why didn't they notice that? And they're carrying it even further in that they are forbidding on many websites now any mention of the Civil War. We're going to abandon history now because one lunatic does a horrible, horrible crime? Are we going to forget and not learn from our past? Today people are going out and defacing monuments that deal with the Civil War. They're going out, they want them all removed. They want them destroyed. You know, if you can't learn from history, you stupidly are going to plunge ahead into uncharted territory. And they're trying to erase history. This isn't going to work. But you see the insanity that comes when you make a choice against God, how epidemic it becomes. Look at all the people who didn't have relatives in that church, who didn't even know anybody in that church, who didn't know anybody that knew somebody in that church, who today are going after our history to try to destroy that and the learning that comes from it. You see how insanity spreads. But it's a choice. It's a choice. I mean, look at what Adam and Eve were faced with. God said to them, "In the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die." And that's pretty serious. And it happened. But, you know, there Adam was faced with this. God says, "In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And on the other hand, the serpent says, "No, you'll have a knowledge of good and evil." God lied. Choices. Nobody made him do either one. God didn't make him, didn't force him to say, "God, I love you more. I love you. I obey you. I want to do what's pleasing to you." Adam could have been made to do that, but what value is that? I mean, if you have a child and that child is forced to tell you that that child loves you, what good is that? And that's how God looks at things when people come with choices to make. In the book of Job, God protects those people who simply respect his word. He protects them from doing foolish things, for an example. One of the things that a lot of people have, and I've never seen this brought out in any of the media, of all the mass murders that we've had in the past few years, not one of them was a church attender. I'm not even talking about going to a liberal church. They didn't go to church, period. In no case do we have any example of their parents being dedicated Christians. Not one. In no case do we find any of them showing any respect for the Word of God or even praying. But we find a lot of them involved in Dungeons and Dragons and satanic worship and things like this. Again, a matter of choice. What does it lead to? Our young people aren't thinking about the consequences. The consequences of going against God are dramatically devastating. The consequences of obeying God are great. They're wonderful. God even protects people. Look how God protected America, even though at no time was all of America Christian. The country was Christian because there were Christian values and standards that were set up, and these were respected even by people who weren't Christian. They were honored. There was a place for God's word in every public school at one time. This was the norm by choice. Even people who weren't saved would defend Christian America. Now we have Job. Look at all he went through. Can we ask, why would God allow him to go through all that? Yeah. We can ask. And if we read the book of Job through, we understand. It was a test. It was a test for the world to see. And you know, the book of Job is even respected in Muslim countries. It's respected around the world. People look at that and they say, "Huh, this is amazing." You see, Job loved God as a matter of choice. And he loved his family and he wanted his family to serve God. And because of Job's care, for many, many years they prospered. But then Satan comes along and he says, "Well, let me tempt him. Let me put something in his path and see. God, is he going to tell you he loves you then?" Job chapter 1, verse 9. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing? Hath not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." Now here's the devil making an observation, that because Job chose to love God, God protected him. God put a hedge around him. I mean, Satan observed this. Well, we can observe the same thing. But then there are times where a test comes and Satan says, "All right, you take away what they have, you take away their health, or take away their money, or take away somebody special in their lives, and what you will find is they won't love you anymore." God says, "Yes, they will. I know them." You see, the devil doesn't know everything. The devil can't read your mind, for an example. He has to test you and see how you're going to react to different things before he can go to the next stage. The devil is very limited in his power. He can tempt. He can get into a serpent and he can spew words at Eve and say, "Here, Eve, don't believe God, believe me." But he can't make her eat of that fruit. God put a hedge around Lot in the Old Testament. He didn't deserve it. Lot moved into the center of Sin City of the time, Sodom. The people, the Bible tells, of that whole area came and surrounded his house when the angels showed up. The only reason that Lot survived is because of the prayers of Abraham. I think it's a very important thing for us in these last days to remember the lesson of Lot. Because had it not been for Abraham, Lot, who is a believer, would have died. He would have died in that fire. Now, we're dealing with a similar situation here in America. Same culture as Sodom had is being developed here. Is God going to judge America? Oh, you can count on that. But will you escape? You say, "Of course I will. I'm a believer." Lot wasn't going to escape had it not been for Abraham. Who's praying for you? Who are you praying for? Think about it. I mean, we have a hedge about us because of somebody who knows how to pray. We have a hedge about us. We have protection when God's people pray. Who's praying for you? And who are you praying for? God has allowed people to decide on many things. Let's go over to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Power of choice. In verse 25 of Romans 11, boy, that's a three-sermon chapter, if there ever was one. That's just skimming the surface. But we get down to verse 25, it says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Blindness has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There are things happening all over in Israel. The Jewish people, many of them, under the Lubavitch movement, Chabad, are opening their eyes to more and more scripture dealing with the Messiah. And I've shared with you the progression. A number of years ago, I went to a synagogue meeting, And it was very obvious. You know, they were never permitted to even mention about Jesus at all. About a year or so later, the rabbi was teaching, and he was mentioning about some people who were against him. And he said they were for Jay, meaning Jesus. The following year, I just about fell off my chair when the rabbi said with his own tongue, he says, I met some people from Jews for Jesus. He said the name. This is unheard of. I said the name. Last year, at the Indy 500, there was a car that raced that was composed of, the whole team was composed of Christians. And they had on their car, "We love the Jewish people." And there was a little write-up about that, and they even had a story about them on YouTube. And amazingly, this rabbi, who has well over 1,000 people in his congregation, sent an email to all the people, and he said, I want you to see this. What these Christians do, they care for the Jewish people. In the name of Jesus. There he said the word again, in writing this time. Things are happening among the Jewish people with their eyes being opened more and more. While they haven't yet said Jesus is our Messiah, they have allowed themselves the openness to read Scripture now. They're getting there. They're getting there. There's a couple phrases here in this verse I want you to see. It says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until. All right. Now just think about it. The blindness has been there for a long time. It's gradually being lifted. They're being able to see things little by little by little. The blindness is going. It says until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The term fullness of the Gentiles deals with human government. A lot of human government. When God pulled Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he brought them into the land of milk and honey, and he promised them blessing. They were there for a number of years, and everything was great, everything was wonderful. And along come some of them, and they say, hey, we need a king. God says, you already have a king, it's me. And you remember the prophet Samuel was furious with Israel because they wanted a human king. And who'd they get? King Saul. God's plan was that people recognize him as king. And when they do, everything works well. But then we have something called the times of the Gentiles, where even Israel adopted the world system, the Gentile system of government. And we have seen monarchies. We have seen democracies. We have seen socialist states, communist states, dictatorships. Every single form of government that there is, with the one exception of world government. And that's what they're working on right now. The world wants to run things. And they do, obviously, a pitiful job. But the world wants to run things, the UN or whoever. But the Bible tells us that this last form of human government is going to be a dictatorship over the entire world by one man that the Bible identifies as Antichrist. Now, this Antichrist, people have a choice to follow him or not follow him. And the Bible says the people refused to repent of their sins and follow God, and so they followed the Antichrist. This is what is in store. This is what is called the times of the Gentiles. When that ends, Jesus is coming back, and whether the world wants it or not, he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. That's what the Bible tells us. And he's going to bring us back with him. And you talk about perfect government. That's what we're going to have. Because the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to be the monarch over all. But until that time, people have choices. When it comes to diseases, a lot of diseases are because they didn't follow God's law to begin with. When it comes to the weather, since God's in control and not the weatherman who thinks that he is, then we're going to see a change in the weather patterns. We're going to see things restored the way they're supposed to be. It's an interesting study. We won't go into it right now, but some of you, I'm sure, have come across it, where the Bible talks about different angels being in charge of different parts of the earth when it comes to the atmosphere, and them being able to move different things around to cause different weather patterns. All these are the angels of God who have that ability. When Jesus comes back, I'm sure that those angels are going to be instructed, hey, get things perfect again. And it's going to be perfect. That's the way God intended it to be. But God has allowed people to decide on governments. Dictators do not take over unless the people are willing for the dictator to take over. In America, America is ripe for a dictator. If we don't have one already, one could be on the horizon. Because people will sit back and they'll say, as long as I can go to McDonald's and Walmart and I can have electricity in my house, then fine, we don't care who's in office. And they let it go. The shenanigans that have been done by Congress, that have been done by the Senate in this country, if they were done back in the early 1800s, these people would have been tarred and feathered and carried out of town. And that actually happened to people. Why? Because people got together and said, we've had enough of this. You better represent us. You better represent the Constitution. And if you don't, we're pouring hot tar all over you, sticking feathers all over you, and get out of town. You're out of office. Just that quick. Nobody had to vote on it. They said, we're not going to wait until the vote. We're going to get you out now. And that's what they did. But you see, that takes decision. That takes a choice that God gave us the ability to choose as to whether we're going to allow something to take place or not. America is going to be judged, and the church as a whole in America is going to be judged, because we have, by our power of choice, allowed evil to take over. We've allowed it. So do you think God's going to say, oh, okay, that's my church. I'm not going to bring anything upon them just because they allowed the world to be taken over by evil? Government, so far as the government of the Gentiles. We don't have time to go into it, but in the book of Daniel, it talks about the different world powers and how it's going to end up. But I'd like for you to turn over to 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Now, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. There are certain things that can happen to you here in this world simply by being here. There are diseases that are airborne. There are diseases in the ground. You go to the store and buy a gallon of milk. You never know whether it's ready to be recalled because of some bacteria in it that's bad. You just don't know. But There are a huge number of things that can be avoided in this life. And we can be healthier than the average person if we follow what God says to do. But you see, there is this spirit in the world today that says, "Doctor, I'm not feeling well. Give me some pills." The answer to everything today, pills. Pharmaceutical companies are delighted. And they have so much money that they can advertise 24 hours a day on almost every TV station in the world. That's how much money they get. But the mentality that many people have, including Christians who have been brainwashed by all this stuff that's out there, is that for every ailment that I have, somebody has a pill that can cure it. You know, sometimes the answer is very simple. Sometimes the answer is not pills at all, but maybe in a behavioral change, maybe in not eating certain things that you shouldn't be eating, maybe more in exercise, certain types of exercise. Not every ailment is cured by a pill, but that's what we've been led to think. Where does this come from? I mean, if we talk about it right now, everybody here has enough sense to say, you know, that's right. I know not every ailment is cured by a pill. But bottom line is this, when we get outside and we start listening to the TV and we listen to other people and we listen to these doctors and the actors who pretend that they're doctors on the TV broadcasts, when we listen to all these people, where does the idea come from that infects the minds of Christians so that they become sick on the basis of the pills? John, 2 John rather, in verse 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world which confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Is it possible that the influence is spiritual? Like it was on Eve. The words coming out of the mouth of the serpent. Spiritual. Hits the mind, hits the heart. Yeah, I have a choice to make. What shall we do with the world's deception? Well, first of all, we have to stay away from it. We have to reject it. And we have to stand up against it. But at the same time, there are a lot of times where these spirits can cause us to deceive ourselves. To make us think, hey, I've got all knowledge. I don't have to go to prayer on this. I appreciate something that Justice Roberts, who evidently took a stand against the overall vote of the Supreme Court, said. He pointed out, he said that he felt that the justices were arrogant and proud and egotistical. Because what they did, he said, was to take a definition of marriage that had always been for thousands and thousands of years, and they decided by their vote that they can change an entire institution and an entire definition of what marriage is. And he's right. That is egotistical. They really do think that they have the power to change a definition of marriage. I like what Franklin Graham pointed out. He says, God's power is greater than theirs, and God's power is what we're going to stand on, not them. We live at times when there are so many choices to make, and there will be more, many more. But God gave to you and to me this awesome power to make a choice for Him. And we can abuse that. We can use it wrongly by making the wrong choice, but God gave us the power of the choice so that we can love him more, and it'll be real. It isn't because he's making us love him. It isn't because he's making us obedient. It's because we do it out of a desire to. We want to. We want to. There's a scripture over in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says this: I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. It's Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It's a choice for each one of us. If you're here today and you've never really received the Lord as your Savior, you can fool yourself, you can fool others. Bottom line, the Holy Spirit's going to let you know, hey, you're not saved. You can fool your family. You can try to influence them and tell them, I'm a Christian. I love God. When inside, your heart is saying, no, you've not really received him. And if that has ever occurred to you, I'd like to invite you today to make your salvation real. And that comes by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a choice. You can choose to pretend. You can choose to play games. You can choose just about anything you want. But God wants you to choose him today by faith. Many people deceive themselves into thinking that they're good enough to make it to heaven. There's no one good enough except Jesus. And it's our faith in him and his substitutionary death on the cross for us that allows us that confidence that when we choose him by faith, that he's going to get us there, and we can be absolutely certain of it. Could God send everybody to heaven? He could, but he's not going to. And that's a good thing, because I don't know about you, when I get to heaven, I don't want to have to lock my doors. I don't want to have to be concerned about liars and thieves breaking in. I don't want to have to be concerned about people polluting my food and my water. I don't want to have to be concerned about that. I want to be up there to worship the King. It's a matter of choice. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the love that you have for us. And you want the love coming from us to be just as real. And Lord, even though we see governments that do bad things and people allow that to happen, and people put the psychiatrists and all their drugs up on a pedestal today, all that's a matter of choice, and people are inheriting the results of that choice. And if that choice wasn't there, people would not be able to see as clearly the difference between you and what the devil offers. I know the devil offers an awful lot that sounds good, but if they open their eyes, they'll see it's deception. But you, Lord, are truth in everything that you say. And Lord, your love for us is not only spoken about, but proven. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us today who know you as Savior would choose to love you more, would choose to grow in our faith, would choose to be the kind of people that you can use increasingly for every day that we live. Father, bless your people. Help them to make the right choices today, that you can be the center of their lives and you can be glorified in them and through them. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come. There are decisions you need to make. Choices in relationship between you and the Lord. You need to come.